All right, ladies and gentlemen, guys, I probably say guys too much, but welcome to the Union Jack, our very first episode. I am your host, Daniel Muggleton from Australia, and now I've moved to the United Kingdom. I live in London because that's the one that seems like it's the most fun compared to all the other cities in the UK, and this is a podcast called the Union Jackoff. Why the Union Jackoff? Because it's kind of competitive between Commonwealth countries, I think. The British Empire really had a good little run there. Like the Roman Empire, that was a good one. Before that, there were some Greeks having a pretty good go. But when you really got international, there was no one quite like the British Empire. And they created the Commonwealth. And a lot of countries are still part of that Commonwealth. A lot of the countries have left, but there's still a core bunch. Australia's still in there. We are not a republic yet. The Queen is still our head of state, and that is why I came across to the UK, because it is a much easier visa than everywhere else. It's true. If you're under 30 in Australia, you can get a very easy visa to the UK as some kind of weird reparation for the fact that we all speak English, even though our country is on the opposite side of the world, in the middle of Asia, and really much closer to Antarctica than any white people. But yeah, so this is the Union Jackoff. I've lived here for 7 months now, and basically I find it interesting coming across here as a person from a former colony of the UK, just all the different people, all the different people they have here, because you kind of have this Mary Poppins, Guy Ritchie film understanding of the UK, and you think, wow, this is going to be pretty much the exact same as Australia. But then you come over here and it's not. Like, there's definite similarities, don't get me wrong, but there are big differences. And then I was thinking about that and I was like, well, if I find it like this, then what about someone from like Malaysia? Because like Malaysia is a British colony as well. Like, what about Barbados? You know, these aren't your rugby playing, cricket playing nations. Well, of cricket, Barbados obviously part of the West Indies, good cricket team. But you know, what do they think? Like, were they kind of brought up in their lives being like, it'll all kind of make sense in the UK once you get back there? Or do they come here thinking it's going to be a very foreign place? Then they're weirdly surprised by the fact that it all checks out. You know, everything's a bit familiar. Like, we didn't even have seasons at the same time in Australia, yet the idea of Christmas is the exact same. Like, they're not sitting there being like, oh yeah, you have your weird little Australian Christmas and you got your British Christmas. No, it's just the same. Like, I got here just before Christmas. Everything checked out, apart from the fact it was cold. And in Australia, like, the food pretty much ignores the fact that it's hot. We're still eating ham, even though it's boiling. Ham is a cold weather food, if anything else. But yeah, I got here and I found myself talking about all this stuff to everybody from the UK and everybody from the Commonwealth countries that I met, like doing comedy. Like, I came here as a stand-up comedian thinking it would be a pretty similar little playing field. And I'd say it is in a lot of ways. I don't think there's a huge amount of difference between UK comedy and Australian comedy. But I find, like, in the country itself, like especially in all the different areas, like I figured England was all pretty much the same, but it's not. And then once you get to Wales and Scotland, it's all crazy again. Like, I'd been to Edinburgh for the Fringe, and I found it really weird how all Scottish people seem to really use every single Scottish stereotype. Like, they are people who drink a lot, wear kilts, and don't eat vegetables. Like, that's just the thing. Like, every stereotype kind of checks out. Whereas if you come to Australia, where like a really laid back people who are outdoorsy and there's kangaroos everywhere, that's not true at all in Sydney. In Sydney, where people who complain about how high the rent is and try to find a good coffee place, which is more like London than anything. You know, it's like these kind of little differences. And initially, I was planning to do this podcast with a UK comedian called Pierre Novelli, who's great. He's been on TV a couple of times. He writes for the MASH Report and stuff like that. Like, he is properly entrenched in English culture. And I thought he'd be the guy because he actually was born in South Africa and then he came over here and lived in the Isle of Man. But he's gonna talk about all this stuff in the episode a little bit. So it's going to be me and him talking, and occasionally we'd get a guest on and they could kind of have their little slant. Like, you know, maybe a guest from Canada, because like Canada is closer to the Queen, but it's also way closer to America. So you assume they've got a more American influence, but at the same time, the Queen visits more often. So maybe they feel a little bit more loved. I don't think Australia really gives a shit about the Queen. It's just that we don't really know what to do. We're still like, I think Australia's a real teenage country. Now we haven't figured things out yet. We're still a little bit insecure. We're still trying to figure out our own thing. And then, you know, Pierre and I were going to talk to them. And Pierre is like a big history buff. So he was going to help out. And he's been doing comedy all around the UK for like 5 years now. And then he realized that he was too busy. So I was like, oh, well, I guess I can just do this thing on my own and get a guest every week. And maybe I could get guests from different parts of the UK as well as from different colonies. So, because, you know, I've been to Liverpool and that place is nothing like London. Like, it's big. I think there's like 1.5 million, maybe 2 million people in Liverpool. But it's definitely kind of got that small town feel. And then you go like across to Manchester and that's like a Liverpool, but not everybody's white. So that's cool as well. And then you go to somewhere like Birmingham, which like I would have had no idea about not having lived in England. But it's this multicultural hub in the middle of the country that kind of gets a bit of influence from everywhere. So it's like, how does that fit in to this whole thing? I think it's interesting. When you travel and you meet up with someone from your country, you got to be honest with yourself. All you do is spend the time bitching about the country you're in and saying all the things that are shit about the country you're in and all the things that are really good about your country. And then eventually when you both feel comfortable with each other, you feel comfortable saying that, yeah, there's actually some stuff that's really bad about your country. You know, like Australia, we always get together and like, man, look at these beaches. They're terrible compared to those Australian beaches. And then you drink a little bit more and you're like, yeah, but man, these alcohol laws are great. Like, honestly, the cost of alcohol, the fact that you can buy it after 11 p.m. like an adult, like that's lovely. You know, you start ragging on your own country. So I was like, why don't I do that with all these different people? Because, you know, I don't feel particularly commonwealthy, I guess. And then you realize that you just have a working knowledge of rugby and cricket and colonization, I guess, you know? Cuz I'm here in Shoreditch in London, which is a really gentrified area. Like, if you haven't been to Shoreditch before, it's got that Williamsburg in New York feel where it was like, wow, some people who build websites for a living definitely pushed out some people who lived here for a very long period of time. And I live here now, and living in a gentrified suburb is like definitely like pretty much the same as living in a colonized nation. Like, there was a thing here, and then some white people came along and kind of imposed their way of life on it. But you can't argue with the fact that coffee is probably better now. So there's that. But that's what I wanted to talk to people about. So this episode, it's a little bit different to what we usually be doing, because Pierre and I actually recorded two episodes before he realized he'd be too busy to do this thing on the regular. So I'm gonna get the best bits of those together, have a chat with Pierre. As I said, Pierre is a strange man. He's a strange set of attributes that have all gone together. Because if you looked at him, you would assume he's some kind of professional rugby player because he's enormous, but he also definitely looks like a wanker, you know? So it's like his rugby union, not rugby league. Like, this is an educated caveman. This is an educated, large, hairy human being. And then his name is Pierre Novelli. So you assume before you see him that he's French, because I actually met him at a comedy night at Cambridge that he hosted. He's the resident host of this comedy night at the Wolfson Howler. And I went up there to visit a friend of mine who was studying there. And then it was in one of the colleges, because like the colleges there like have these huge like rooms where they have like events on, and like the beers are like £1.50, which is insane. They're just these like, it's such a throwback. Like, Cambridge is the kind of place where people who live in the colleges, certain colleges, will have a cleaner in their room every day. Like, the idea of those guys then just, like, going and living a life is the most insane thing in the world to me. Like, I just have no idea how they come out normal on the other side. But then here I was at this event, and I didn't really know who anyone was. And they're like, this is Pierre, the MC. And then he stood up, and he was enormous, but he had that pretentious voice. And I was like, oh, man, so this guy's going to be a bit of a wanker. And, I mean, I think he is. I think he'd admit that he is as well. He, like, studied ancient Anglo-Saxon history at Cambridge. Like, that's a pretty niche degree. But yeah, so I just saw him go on stage, and it was just this such a niche set, like, so intellectual and intelligent, and these Cambridge kids were just lapping it up. And then, like, halfway through, he just went, yeah, it's amazing to be able to talk about this shit on stage, because when you do it in Devon, no one's enjoying it, you know? And I was like, oh man, this guy's self-aware. He gets it. I think I'm going to like this guy. So we started hanging out as a result of that. And all we talked about was how British people just assume that everything they do is normal and everything that everyone else does is weird. And it's really not. they're not the center of the world anymore. It's definitely America. Or if you're looking purely population-wise, it's got to be China or India, right? Let's be honest. But so we started talking about that, like, we should do this podcast. So I'm rambling now. I'm definitely rambling. Even though it's the first one, I'm getting too excited because Pierre is a really interesting, really intelligent dude. So basically, this little chat we have, there's two chats. It was him and I when we were both giving this thing a crack. We're going to talk about his experience because this came here when he was 4. He, like, got out of South Africa, immigrated to the UK with his whole family and lived on the Isle of Man, which I'm told is not England, it's the Isle of Man, which is its own thing. Anyway, Pierre will explain it better than I can. But here's the episode, my first little chat in the Union Jack off, talking to Pierre Novelli, originally from South Africa, but now pretty much as English as I think you could possibly be, apart from the self-awareness. That's something that just is not grown naturally in the UK. That's introduced. All right, guys, first episode, Union Jack off. Here is Pierre Novelli. Guys, welcome to the Union Jack off with Dan and Pierre.
The name is still ridiculous.
You're still not sold on it.
I'm sold on it. It's very funny and ridiculous.
Thank you. I did come up with it, so it's probably funny.
It involves my two favorite things.
What is that?
Flags and wanking. Those are my two hobbies.
Just loves raising a flag.
That's right.
Loves anything ascending a pole, this guy. That's what he wants.
I like, exactly, yeah. Flag poles, hot dogs, cucumbers. Don't know why.
Yeah.
Something about all of those things appeals to me on some inherent level.
Anything tubular and patriotic.
Yes, exactly, yeah.
This is what I'm into as a human being.
The dick of a veteran.
The dick of a veteran. It's really weird because most veterans actually only fly at half mast because of what they've seen.
God.
Well, you gotta kick things off like a bit intense. I think
that's a strong start.
Yeah,
let's
keep it dark.
So what is it? This is us as what would you say, a colonial émigré?
I mean, you'd definitely say it that way because you're more pretentious than me. But
yeah.
I would say two people who other people aren't glad that we're here. They're okay with it. But they're not stoked.
They're more okay with it because we're white and English is our first language.
That's true.
And we can vaguely, like, there's cultural stuff lines up.
Yeah. Like, we also know rugby is called rugby.
Yeah.
And rugby league is called rugby league.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
It's like different little things.
Little things.
Yeah. It's like if you play rugby, you're probably also from money. If you play rugby league, you probably didn't have any money.
Yeah.
Growing up. We know that inherently. And that's not a North-South English thing. It's just a thing.
We can just translate it. We can translate that knowledge to North-South.
Yeah, we got a little bit of shorthand there. We can probably pick up on things without having them explained to us very slowly.
Yes.
Which the English do like to do, though.
Yeah.
I've never been short of an explanation over here.
How long have you been here now?
Almost 6 months.
Yeah.
I think so. Yeah, late December. Yeah, pretty much.
coming up on your half year.
My half year, yeah. It's the countdown. It's like it's quarter time, to use a sports metaphor. I got 2 year visa. Quarter time is about to roll around.
When you have your big fan, because you've become so English that you fear the heat now.
I do. Yeah. It's fucked. Like I feel incredibly uncomfortable with the fact that now I see like 25 degrees and I'm like, I'm going to whip the shorts out. Let's get the knees involved.
That's because it's so humid, man.
Yeah. Something about London retains heat. Like it's weird.
It's because all the buildings are built to withstand like a Victorian winter, you know?
Is the winter, I was just through the winter. Is this not a cold winter compared to other winters? Where does it rank?
There were a few days where it was so cold that it hurt, and that's quite unusual.
This winter?
Yeah.
Wow, okay.
But broadly, it was normal, I think.
Normal winter.
Sometimes it's a horrific. But London's like... 25 degrees in London feels like what 38 feels like in Johannesburg, because Johannesburg is at really high altitude,
yeah,
and it's dry heat.
Yeah.
Whereas London is this like swamp... with a little bit of heat, and it's like, oh, it feels like tropical.
Yeah, I got this feeling like the kind of moist terrace, the terraces kind of trap it in.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then everyone's kind of around because it's hot as well, so you just get all this body heat that adds to it. Like everybody just suddenly decides to go outside.
Yeah, it's almost like the space heaters.
Yeah,
it's like patio heaters. Everyone's behaving like a sort of organic little patio heater, drinking in the road.
Yeah, and you're just trying to walk through them, but you can't do it without just copping a bit of a sweat.
That's right.
Yeah,
contact heat. The tube is a nightmare.
Yeah, I'm disappointed in myself for having become this way so quickly.
In a way, it's a good sign of like your adaptability as a human.
Yeah, but you know? I don't want to become like them.
You know, like, you don't want to become like the English.
No, not like the English. It's too strange. Like it's such a strange balancing act to be English between politeness and rudeness, but the exact same activity takes place.
Yes.
And nobody really knows if you're being polite or rude apart from other English people.
Yeah, it's a very complicated code.
Yeah, it's like a finger trap.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Or like a sort of catch-22 thing.
Yeah.
It's like Schrodinger's rudeness.
Ah, Schrodinger's rudeness.
Like, until you know.
Schrodinger is one of my top 10 dingers. It's just one of those things.
Top 10 dingers?
Top 10 dingers.
Number one, Schro.
Just the world's worst list.
Yeah.
my top 10 worst list. Number one, the list of the best dingers. List of my favorite dingers. But yeah, well, should we give some kind of context to what this is? I think so. I think people are getting the rough idea because we are talking about the English from an outsider's perspective, which I'm still not sure that you get to have anymore.
Well, it's difficult because I've been here for like 21 years, but mostly on the Isle of Man, which is not England.
Mm. It's actually because you're originally from South Africa.
Originally from Johannesburg.
We should cover that. I'm originally from Australia. And the funny thing is, like, you living on the Isle of Man, like, I know this is, like, a dumb thing in my head, but, like, I know it's, like, been 20 years, and I know there's, like, two isles here. There's, like, the Isle of Man and the Isle of Wight.
Yeah.
And there's something really funny to me if there was, like, a South African guy at the end of apartheid who was, like, we're going to move right now to the Isle of Wight. Like, we just don't like what's going on here. I want to go to the Isle of Wight, keep things ticking over.
The one place that sounds the best to us.
Yeah, it's just, like, this is what we like. Yeah, for some reason. But
where would you... I was thinking about this the other day, is that if you were one of those South Africans that like fled even before Mandela got elected kind of thing, like you were that terrified, where if you were that much of like a, and like not just terrified, but let's say that you're like a white supremacist, where's the whitest place?
let's just enter the mind of the white supremacist.
Yeah, just let's dabble in that. Well, like if someone said to you, you have to move to the whitest place now, wait, like North Wales?
No, I mean...
Finland?
Yeah, Finland is very white.
But Finland has a lot of... Finland and Sweden have quite a high amount of like refugees and stuff from East Africa and things.
Ah, okay.
So maybe you'd be like, hey, no.
Well, like, Russia?
Russia's very white in the European bits of it.
Yeah.
But like North Wales.
North Wales. I mean, that's just hills, though.
That's what but you know.
You know, white hills people in hills.
Hey, what's whiter than a series of rolling hills?
Yeah,
let's get inaccurate racial stereotypes started.
Yeah, I mean, that's mainly why I wanted to start this thing, just to really put some inaccuracies out there with the authority of two white people talking.
That's right. We invented these things, and now we want them to take hold. And I tried to do a routine once about how You'll never stop the human instinct to be prejudiced towards out-groups.
Out-groups?
Like, you're just you're in an in-group.
Oh, right.
So it's like anyone who's not you.
So I thought it was like an out-group, as in like groups that you see out, or like, you know, a group of like gay dudes who've come out, just out-groups. I'm like, is this some slang that I'm not on top
this
of?
This is a new English slang for gay dudes who have just come out.
Out-groups.
Out-groups. Like anyone who's not you, right?
Yeah, sure.
Just inherent tribalism of like, we like our school better than the other school.
Yeah.
Just anything like that.
Because our school's got green and white on their blazer, and their school's got black and yellow.
Exactly.
Fuck that. Black and yellow losers.
What a terrible combo.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Green and white. That's where it's at.
So then I tried to do a routine about like, given that you'll never stop the human instinct to do that, what if we just did a thing where we let stereotypes exist, but we made them all wildly, like, provably inaccurate and positive.
Right.
Like, purely positive.
Yeah.
So then, like, I don't know, I never figured out how to make it work, but at one point I was saying, like, I was going to raise my kid with really positive nonsense stereotypes. Like, I want that bedroom as clean as a Transylvanian's.
Ah, like, right. So it's all positive. Everything's positive,
yeah, but
it's attributed
but
to some country.
Not real, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, nice.
So the instinct to stereotype is still being fed.
Yeah,
but
it's just like, man, that's one of
nothing but positive
that's
messages.
That's one of the best hugs I've ever got in my life. What are you, Jewish?
Exactly.
Yeah, you know, those Jews hug real good.
Exactly.
Real good huggers.
You just got to get really obscure with it.
Yeah,
just like, God, you're as fast as an Eskimo or whatever. Just random, but you have to misapply them, because if it's a positive one that is common, that's like, you know, Chinese people are good at maths or something.
Yeah.
No, that doesn't count, because that's...
Yeah, because there's drawbacks on that. Because like, that's the thing, if you're ever at like a Chinese restaurant and they mess up like adding your bill, like, you know, it's personal. Like, it's not like this is just some kind of oversight. It's like, no, they're so good at math. Like, this is definitely an attack. They're trying to... Is this not how everybody thinks about stuff?
That's how you think. You go through the world like one of the a bad version of one of those things where they're under a rainbow or holding hands.
Yeah, I'm the opposite of that. I'm constantly auditing life.
Yeah,
like you guys are trying to scam me.
My favorite thing about those like the world getting along kind of posters, it's everyone holding hands under a big rainbow, is that often the illustrations of all the different peoples of the world are themselves very stereotypical. And even if they're getting on, it's still not good.
Yeah, it's just so, like, man, it's so cool that the village people are hanging out under that rainbow.
Exactly.
We got a cowboy, we got a police officer.
And they're all getting on.
Yeah.
So I'm in a sticky position, though, because we can both talk about the English.
Yeah.
Because I'm British, but I'm not English.
Right. Explain that to me. That seems like a trick.
Well, like, if you're Welsh...
Yeah.
You're British.
That's true.
But you're not English.
I see.
Yeah.
But is the Isle of Man not...
It's not part of the UK, but it is part of the British Isles.
It's not part of the UK.
Mm-mm.
So you're not part of the United Kingdom.
No. Nope.
You're just an isle off to the side.
Have our own government.
Have your own government.
The Queen owns it.
So it's just like, she just kind of owns your little island.
Yeah.
And lets it run itself like an ant farm.
Yes.
It's like,
yeah. It's like a hobby for her.
Like, I'm not going to check on the ants. They can
manage
their own affairs. Yeah. They can decide who's burrowing and who's nesting. Like,
yeah.
You know, yeah.
It's similar. It's not quite the same, but it's similar to Bermuda, for example.
Okay.
Like Bermuda, everyone on Bermuda is like a British citizen.
Right. Bermuda, the inventor of the triangle.
That's right.
Lovely.
That's right. The scariest and most mysterious instrument.
The triangle. That'd be very fun. We gotta keep propagating these myths. You know, the Bermuda invented the triangle? The instrument. Not the shape.
Not the shape.
The shape was actually invented by the Mongolians.
That's right.
All geometrical shapes.
Who are the best at shapes?
Best at shapes. All the angles always add up. They just fluked it. They're that good. They're so talented.
They could just riff a shape out of nothing.
Mm.
So I have a weird one where, like, I'm British, but I don't know if I'd pick a host nation that isn't the Isle of Man kind of thing. I guess I'm integrated as, like, Manx. That's what you'd say, M-A-N-X.
M-A-N-X.
Yeah, Manx.
What is Manx?
It's like of or pertaining to the Isle of Man.
Really?
Yeah, Manx Gaelic is technically the native.
Like, have not, it like a language? No.
Well, like Gaelic, like Irish Gaelic,
oh,
Scottish Gaelic.
Right,
it's a form
sure.
of Gaelic. So there's actually three types of Gaelic. It's the Isle of Man's one is not famous and only about 3,000 people speak it.
3,000 people. It sounds like a lot. This is the kind of this is why I need you on this podcast, to bring some facts. You know, like,
I'm Johnny Facts. Don't you worry about that,
Johnny Facts. But no, it's like it's important to kind of get an idea of Pierre being like, honestly, like the most confusing person that I've met since I've been here, because like, His name is Pianovelli, which makes him seem like a French street clown.
Yeah, a little someone who does those paintings, but the paintings that are the size of like little credit cards.
Yeah, just like really small, and they sell you the painting, and then they go home and work on a sand sculpture just for themselves.
That's
like,
right. Yeah,
it's not a performance piece. I just want to know that. But it's actually this giant South African man who looks like he should be on the edge of a scrum, like in rugby. Like that's where you'd position him if you could.
I wish I'd had the competence when I played rugby to be on the edge. Yeah. Oh, man.
Look, you were slow, you said. You didn't have the speed to be a breakaway.
I was a trundler.
Yeah.
If you needed someone to trundle in a ball.
Hey, that was my role in cricket. I was a trundler. Just like second change bowler, just bowled it on the stumps, and everyone's like 15, so they suck. So you just get all these wickets. But it's like, wait, the thing's coming at them. Oh, no. Like, they just can't deal with it.
It just blows their minds.
Yeah, they're just like, I did not expect this form of attack, the most direct.
He's just gone for it.
Yeah, it's just like if you're in a fight, the last thing you expected was a punch in the face.
You're just really overcomplicating the fight in your head.
Yeah.
He's going to have one of those guns that's on a spring in his sleeve. And then he's going, no, he's just punching right
in the face. Punch in the face, yeah. I was expecting a spinning heel kick. That's what I was looking for in this fight scenario.
On the move.
Yeah, just
move. An incredible display of martial arts prowess.
Yeah, but so yeah, because I got here in December. I'm from like Sydney in Australia. We got it. I never know the context to given these things. I think like enough that people aren't confused as to why we're trying to dissect the UK, which is difficult.
Yeah,
because there's different bits of it. And they all think they're the same, but they're not. But they all hate each other, but they're the same.
But they're the same, but they are very different.
Yeah.
But they're also the same.
It's very confusing.
And then you'll get like somewhere in like the far north of England, like where the Geordies are and so on, and like the borders, where they actually kind of like the Scottish in a lot of ways more than they like the Southern English.
But that doesn't that just make sense to you? Like it makes sense to me because like they're kind of up in that weird like grey bit in the middle of the two.
Well, they use similar slang and...
Yeah.
It sort of makes sense, but then as we're saying that, we're not entirely accurate because then there's the nationalism element, and then you might even find like border people still willing to, because there used to be all like raids across the border and stuff, and like
cattle raids. Go steal some cattle from down south and bring it up north.
That's right.
It's like, what are you talking about? These are Scottish cattle.
Yeah.
Look, they're definitely not Newcastle upon Tyne cattle.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So there's some people that are like, you know, nationalistic and super English. And
right.
It's, oh man, it's very hard for foreigners to understand. And no one here thinks it's hard to understand.
Yeah. That is the main issue with the English. They're like, isn't it obvious? And it's like, absolutely not. It's the opposite of obvious.
Because they sort of assume that, and it's not like a negative assumption to make, but it's, they sort of go, oh, everywhere's got something like this. And you go, sort of, but not quite like here. They don't seem aware of the uniqueness of it.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like, you know, I learned a little bit of German and in high school because I really wanted to be employable when I was older. I was like, this is the one. This is the useful language. And then if I went to Germany, they wouldn't expect me to know about German culture because I speak German.
Yeah.
Whereas the English are like, hey, you speak English? You got it.
Yeah.
You'll figure it out.
You must have something like genetic empire memory.
Yeah.
You know.
You know, like, you know, can you construct a sentence in English? Yeah, you got it.
Yeah.
The North is weird. We're not. We're from London. You got it? Great.
Pies. Pies?
Pies.
Gravy on chips? Pies.
Look, and we're gonna chase this wheel of cheese down a hill. Don't ask why.
Just, it's the thing we do.
We've done it forever, and we're going to keep doing it.
Despite the deaths.
Until there is no cheese.
Until the cheese...
Or hills. One of the two.
Until we run this hill into the ground.
Yeah.
You're exactly right. They make this assumption where they go, but it's obvious that things should work this way.
Yeah, well, I mean...
It seems so clear to them.
Well, it's because, like, surely they just... Like, you know, for example, I was in Brighton over the weekend.
Uh-huh.
And now, for those not aware of Brighton is, like, what, an hour south of London? Hour and a half south of London. It's on the coast. It's like some beachy thing. Not a proper beach, though. As an Australian person, you go to all these places where things are described as a beach, and they're not.
Yeah.
Like, Brighton's beach is a pier surrounded by pebbles. Like... It's just like, hey, this sand is really granular. Like, this is, it was like just so disappointing. And like people swim in it, but like the water like visibly smells like just that kind of just filth water. And like, they're like, this is the beach. This is where we go. And what do you do on the beach? Well, we sit on a chair that's rented to us by a hairy man. That's what we do.
In the wind.
In the wind.
In the strong wind.
How much does the chair cost? Well, it's £3 for as long as you can stand the smell of the ocean. That's what you're working with.
I think like if you're Australian and you... Or just from anywhere with really good beaches and you move to the UK, they should be like, we could start a charity where they put you on a bus to Cornwall.
Does Cornwall have beaches?
Yeah, and Cornwall's where they do surfing.
You guys can surf here?
Yeah, the waves, you won't get like really cool breakers and stuff like you would get in the Southern Hemisphere.
But there'll be a wave per day.
Yeah, like you can surf. One.
Yeah.
But like some, the really dedicated ones do it in winter as well. Because in winter, technically, the waves are bigger because the weather's worse, right? But it's
right.
Unbelievably cold, of course.
Of course.
Yeah, but we get all the Australians and South Africans and Kiwis and stuff who on a bus. We drive them to Cornwall and go, see, it's kind of like white sand and
look at
it's pretty broad and flat and it's sunny, it's nice.
Yeah,
it's and like, then they can sort of have that for the day. And then that's the taste of beach for the year.
That's the whole thing. You get it in one hit.
Yeah.
It's just like, are there any sand dunes? No, of course not. We built shit on them. What are you, crazy?
Yeah, no, like, they're no. full of houses and things. And it's like, they could say, look, see that wave? That was almost... 3 feet high. That was good.
And we're just like, why do you guys use the metric system and the imperial system at the same time? And they're like, look, we don't want to talk about that. Look at the wave again. Yeah.
Look,
like,
it's imperial for height and decks, and it's metric
for everything else
except for cars sometimes, but not all the time.
And drinks, everything's pints. I looked
things
this
are
up.
In pints, yeah.
Like milk here is in pints, gallons.
Well, you buy it in a liter. But then it says how many pints really prominently on the liter bottle.
It's, I mean, I get it because like pints here seem to make sense because the weather is cool enough for them mm-hmm. to remain cold until the end of the drink.
It's not horrible like warm soup.
Yeah,
by the end of the beer.
If you get like a pint in Sydney, you better be smashing it down. Otherwise, the West is just warm brown.
That's
warm brown.
That's your stage
color. Yeah. It's my support act.
Please welcome to the stage, Warm Brown.
Warm Brown. It's weird I'm not bigger.
Yeah, I know.
With a catchy stage name like that.
Warm Brown. Warm Brown. I forgot about that, the pint thing. I forgot, like, you lose your hot weather skills.
Yeah.
Like I can't tell you how many days in a row I... sleep like a man dying in a sauna that's been locked from the outside by an assassin until I remember I can just sleep under a sheet.
Because it's a doona, yeah. You've only got...
Yeah.
Oh, what do you guys call it? Not a doona.
A duvet.
Duvet. Yeah. Doona's better. It's got a nice visceral, like it's a doona. Like you get under your doona.
When I first moved to the UK, some people were like... didn't even say duvet.
What do they say?
Eiderdown.
What?
That's like an old-fashioned term for a duvet.
Eiderdown.
Like 20, 30 years ago, duvets weren't as much of a thing here.
Right.
At all.
But what's an eiderdown? Is it the same as a duvet? Surely there's not many ways
like
you can put feathers inside a sheet.
It's like an old-fashioned duvet.
An old-fashioned duvet. So it's a duvet, but it's a little racist.
It's a duvet.
Old-fashioned. It's a duvet that always pays if you're the guy duvet. Always pays for the woman duvet.
Yes. It's a duvet... But it starts a lot of sentences with the phrase "these days," and looks over its shoulder before it tells jokes. And, you know.
An old-fashioned duvet. Yeah. It's just like
it's too hot.
If a couple is sharing a bed, it mainly covers the man. An old-fashioned duvet. Yeah. The woman is left out in the cold a little bit.
She gets 73%.
Oh boy.
Of the duvet.
I told you, I was very strict. I don't want to do maths in this podcast.
Yeah,
right?
I've already
talked about. The Chinese restaurant messing up the bill. Let's not create an ongoing thing.
That's true. But yeah, you lose your hot weather skills. And so I was in Adelaide last year for the festival.
Yeah.
And I was ordering pints and then being like, why am I really not enjoying the last third of every drink? And I was like, oh, of course.
But do you want to know something that is going to hurt you? I didn't realize you were going to make the Adelaide pint is actually the size of a regular schooner in New South Wales or Queensland. You can get larger, but if you ask for a pint in Adelaide, you'll be getting, I think it's 425 mils of beer. Whereas a pint's like 560.
Is a pint, I thought a pint was like 480.
No, I think it's like 560.
Is it?
And then the thing is like Adelaide's really weird because like it's like not an imperial pint. It's like this other pint. Because that's the thing, in Australia it's like it's different no matter where you go. Because in Melbourne you get pints and pots.
What?
There's a pint, like a regular pint that you have here
right.
is a Melbourne pint, and there's a pot, which is half a pint. So like a midi, essentially, which is 250.
A half.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then, hey, you guys call it just pints and halves. Yeah. Pints and half pints. That does make more sense. But they do pints and pots. They like alliteration, I guess.
Sure.
I don't know. But then in Sydney, you have a schooner and a midi.
Yeah.
So it's like 425, then 250. And Queensland's the same. And then Adelaide is a pint and a midi, but the pint is the size of a schooner and the midi is the same. Or maybe they call them a pot.
You said you didn't want maths on this.
I know.
Oh my God.
I made it really confusing. But like this, I mean that.
Oh man.
That's like, you know, Australia's like got those weird regional things. Like we don't really have the regionalism like people do in the UK. But like, for example, in a game of pool.
Yeah.
In New South Wales and Queensland, I think, you never play penalties. So like if you like miss a shot, the other person never gets another stroke. Whereas in other states you would, because they're like, but what happens if you miss? And it's like, nothing, mate, just take your shot. Like that's the Australian attitude to most things. Right. Don't moan about it, just get the ball in. We're not changing things for you.
Well, you've got a, that's the other thing, is that you've got 6 months in now and you've got a year and a half left at a minimum. You're gonna develop all this extra sensitivity,
yeah,
and ability to express your wishes.
It's true. Like since I've been over here, whenever I've been on the phone to my parents, I will say I love you at the end of the call. Like that's a new thing.
Yeah.
My dad will say it back. I don't know why. I assume he's distracted.
He's got,
and just repeats whatever I say.
There's a gun to the back of his head. Yeah. He's trying to tell you.
Yeah. As a man who has struggled with that for a long time, it's good for him to finally just say fuck it and present verbal affection.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's. Yeah, wait, sorry. We're talking about Brighton. This is the thing about Brighton. This is this English thing that I will never understand.
Uh-huh.
There's Brighton.
Yes.
And there's Hove.
Yeah.
And they're two different places.
Uh-huh.
Supposedly.
Yes.
But you go into Brighton and people are like, I'm from Hove. And you're like, where's Hove? And they're like, 10 minutes walk that way.
Yeah.
Even though you're currently in the middle of Brighton.
Yeah.
There's no border. There's no indicator of any sort that you're currently in a new place. They play football together as one team. But no, we're from Hove. Like, I'd be like, so you guys are from Brighton, but no, we're from Hove.
Yeah.
It's like, so you live 20 meters away from the place that I said. They're like, fuck yeah, don't make that mistake again. Right? That's insane to me. Like in Australia, there's like so much space between towns. There is no overlap.
No, if you're not from some village kind of half in Perth, you're from Perth.
Exactly. It's not like a Venn diagram of like, yeah, there's like this little weird midsection. No one really knows where that is.
It only matters in places that have like neighborhoods that are worth distinguishing. Like in New York, I guess if you wanted to be all fancy, you'd be like, I'm from Manhattan, right?
Yeah, well, the boroughs in New
York... But you wouldn't say Manhattan instead of New York. You'd just be being more specific, and that's the difference, isn't it?
Exactly. Like, you'd just be like, I'm from New York. They'd be like, are you from New York? They'd be like, yeah. Like, where do you live? Like, Manhattan.
Yeah.
Or, like, they might get more specific. Americans do that thing where they say, like, the exact town that they're from, which I appreciate.
It's just like,
when you're asking, are you American?
Oh, Idaho.
Yeah, it's just like, you ask if you're American, it's like, are you Canadian or American? Which is essentially what you're saying. It's like, are you American? And they're like... Yeah, I'm from Boston. And you're just like, all right, you could have just said yes.
Well, I like when they always add the full name. I'm from Boston, Massachusetts.
Yeah. Like, I'm James Earl Jones, the third.
Yeah, they have a lot of, like, that's a lot of things in American films. There's always the evil characters, like the fourth.
Yeah, something. I like it. It gives them a sense of history, you know?
That's where the Hove thing comes from, is because ages ago, it was just like two different villages based around two different like wells. And presumably on Sundays, they would meet up and fight and try and fuck each other's cousins or whatever and have a big argument. And it's just developed into this.
I like that most English towns just separated based on like cousin fucking. It's like, look, we just don't want to fuck our own cousin. So our cousin's going to live here. Your cousin's going to live there.
The old switcheroo.
We'll meet at the well on Sunday.
Have a fight.
have a fight. Have a cousin fuck. You know, all the good stuff.
But it's like, especially with some of the northern... Well, it's like Newcastle and Sunderland like are different places and they hate each other. But like the urban sprawl now is such that they're just like across a bridge from each other or stuff, and all these places.
But a bridge is a classic. Come on, that's like the thing. Like Brighton Hove doesn't have a bridge. It doesn't even have like.
That's true. It's just a road.
Like there isn't even like a hill just to go up and down. It's just like, no, now it's Hove. It's like, why? Because we said it is.
I guess no one would ever say like, "Are you from London?" No, I'm from Chelsea. they'd say, yes, I'm from Chelsea.
Yeah, exactly. Because you're part of the bigger thing.
But it's that pedantry thing as well, where it's like, it's. I think it's fancy. Is it fancier to be from Hove?
I mean,
I think it's fancier to be from Hove traditionally.
Look, I don't care. I think that's the main thing.
you've got to learn the you're from a country with a broadly flat society, whereas now you've got the class system to enjoy.
We've got a couple of mountains, all right? We're doing our best. We've got Kosciuszko. Yeah, you know, it's good stuff. Yeah, I mean, you're true. Like, there is definitely the thing here. It's like, how could you possibly think I'm from Brighton? Look at my face. This is a Hove face.
That's right. Look at my brogues.
Yeah.
These are the shoes of a Hove man.
Yeah, I don't have blue hair and a Bluetooth speaker around my neck. I'm not from Brighton. I'm not an animal.
I don't have a vegan skateboard under these brogues.
Oh, man. I was actually thinking there's got to be vegan Doc Martens these days. Surely that's got to be a definitely thing.
But there's vegan shoe shops everywhere.
Really? You know there are vegan tattoos as well?
What?
Yeah, because there's a lot of bone marrow to create the colouring in tattoos.
What?
So it's like, I want a vegan tattoo.
But...
I thought this was just some kind of joke, but like, it's no, it's a serious thing.
I thought it was just ink. I didn't realise they're putting bones in it.
Wait, man, how do you think they make ink, all right?
From bones.
From squids.
They milk bones.
They milk bones. And they, yeah, it makes... I think it's the black ink, mainly. Like, that's the one that they need the bone marrow for.
That's bizarre.
But they've come up with alternatives. Come up with that vegan ink so you can, you know, not feel guilty when you get it retouched. You want that little arrowhead on your wrist to be black as the day you got it. No more animals to die.
No blurry edges on that. On that tribal barbed wire thing around your upper arm.
Yeah, but just like being in Brighton, it's like having those like differentiations. Like it's so strange because like, yeah, Brighton's an hour from London on the train.
Yeah, it's full of like London commuters as well.
Yeah, people just live there and work in London, but it's like, no, we're from Brighton. We're completely different. And I'm like, an hour? Completely different?
Well, this is the thing is like, that's the other thing with the UK. It's like they did a big study on all the accents.
Yeah.
And they estimated that if you stood in any one place in the UK and heard the accent from that place, you were 2.5 miles from the next different accent. Measurably different.
2.5 miles.
Yeah, I think so.
That's insane. That's like, what, 5 Ks?
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Measurably different.
That's, yeah.
Because there's like Welsh people who can tell what valley you're from, you know? Just by you got that tiny little accent.
You got that valley accent, we know.
But it'll just be like, they'll get it down to like the Hamlet. You know, it's terrifying.
But isn't that just scary if we're ever going to make a prank call?
That's the accent of Swift Street.
Yeah, I'm gonna come down Swift Street. If I find anyone on the phone, I'm going to fuck them right up.
If I overhear that vowel.
Yeah. But what about South Africa? Do you have enough of a memory of it to like? Is there a big difference in accents?
There's like 11 languages, right? So obviously there's at least 11 accents. But I could never hear much of the difference till recently, where I had listened to a recording of someone with like a really strong, what you would call a white English speaking Cape Town accent.
A white English speaking Cape Town accent
is a bit more surfer duty.
Right.
Than a white English speaking Joburg accent, which is very like Afrikaans influenced and stronger and harsher in some ways, and the vowels are a bit different.
So one's like a chill bro and the other guy's like an angry man driving a four-wheel drive.
Yes, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Got it.
Pretty much. But then so there's like different accents within English speakers, but then there's different accents within Afrikaans speakers. I assume there's different accents within Zulu speakers. Like it must be a shit ton of them.
Yeah. But like
my uncles can speak a bunch of languages. He can speak English, Afrikaans, Xhosa, Zulu, Pedi, Tswana, and French.
And French. I like that you close on the French.
And the French.
Like, look, there's all this stuff that you haven't heard of before, and French. Dance back in.
Back to reality.
Yeah, got it.
But he can tell from accents where people are from now and stuff, because he's worked enough in the like African languages to be able to do that. And
right.
He can tell if you're from a particular north or south bit of a particular area, but it's not nearly as important as it is in the UK. In the UK accent, you can guess at someone's like education.
But I mean, I think
which isn't the case in Australia.
Yeah, you definitely can hear like a certain level. Not all the time, like granted, like I've heard some people just like,
yeah, so I got this fucking doctorate. You're like, what?
Exactly.
How did you
yeah.
do that? Yeah. That's impressive. Yeah. It's like, what's it in? And fucking criminology? Like, no, just like, oh my God. But no, yeah, it is like, I've found that interesting over here because like, it's regional and it's kind of class-based, but it's not exactly based on education.
Yeah.
There's so many factors.
And the class thing is so not about money. Because like Wayne Rooney is rich, but he's not upper class.
No, but he's so rich though.
Yeah, too bad. Too bad, Wayne.
But he doesn't look rich. You know what I mean?
No, like he doesn't.
He's one of those people. He can blend in anywhere.
He looks hot.
He looks hot. Just at any point.
He's always seemed to me to look red and sweat, claustrophobic.
Yeah.
Even in a suit walking around in the daytime.
He's a man.
Hot.
He's a man who's never gone a day in his life without being offered a fan. That's Wayne Rooney.
He needs to get one of those pocket handkerchiefs to like dab at his head.
That's like, he's like the only person who's allowed to have
like
one.
An old merchant.
On a purely functional basis. Just like, what's in the pocket square? I'm wearing fucking Rooney. Like, I got to dab. I got to dab my head right
this
up.
Big, hot, red, round head.
He needs to dab. Big head.
It's big fucking plum on my shoulders.
It's true, yeah. It's like, it's kind of like, it's hard to picture without him wiping his brow.
Yeah, or just going, just out of breath.
Yeah, just, that is. Yeah, I mean, kind of, what do you remember like kind of first impressions here, like just that kind of like that initial like kind of coming over and like English thing?
I couldn't understand anyone.
Really?
No, I couldn't understand a fucking thing anyone was saying.
How old were you?
Seven. Because then also remember, like I moved to if we'd moved to Southern England, it would have been much easier because a lot of it's quite similar. But we moved to like Northern England, like with these like Northern style accents.
Right, so Isle of Man has a Northern.
Well, like loads of people on the Isle of Man are actually from Lancashire. They've just moved there.
Right, okay.
And the accent itself is pretty like similar to a general like Northern.
Sure, accent. Just that kind of thicker thing, yeah.
Mm.
Gotcha.
And, but also, so like it would cause issues. Like my mum remembers when you arrive at a new school and you're from abroad, they kind of have to test you a bit to see if you're a fucking idiot.
Right, yeah.
Because you're not just new, you're out of the system.
Yeah, of course. You're like
this
new commodity that no one really understands. Yeah.
And I'd never been to school before.
You never been to school before?
Well, because you start school in South Africa the year you turn 7.
Really?
Yeah. So I'd been
What do you do before that?
Dicking around, man. I was just colouring in and running around.
I just thought like...
You have like a play school thing, but it's not school.
Like preschool.
Yeah. But it goes on till like you're 6.
But like your parents kind of have to deal with you more though. I thought the whole thing with school young was get you out of the house.
You can get a play school that has the same like number of hours or whatever.
Oh, right.
But it's optional.
It's optional.
It's optional. And so I turned up as this like illiterate.
Wait, do you graduate later then in South Africa? Or just do less years of school?
I think you just do less years of school. I don't know. Maybe you do graduate later. I don't know. Matriculate.
See, like, I brought you on as the resident South African here and you're not doing so well so far.
I mean, as far as I'm aware, my older sister and all my relatives left school at 18, same as any other country. All
right, well, there you go.
Because it's hardly like, well, you can't have your PhD. You learn shapes a year later than the other guy learned shapes. Like, and you're not Mongolian.
It does take a while to... Those Mongolians, man, they come out of the womb holding a hexagon. It's crazy. It's like, look, we get it. But like, I mean, it's still... I guess that 1 year, I don't know. I just kind of find it interesting because like I went to school, I think when I was 5. Like most people in Australia, they kind of get them there at 4 now. You get them in early.
Well, this in the UK, it's minimum like 4. Like
right.
Police are coming if you're not doing that.
The police are coming to the house.
Yeah.
We're going to take your kid away and put him in class.
Your kid needs to wear a scratchy jumper and oddly formal trousers for a child. But they had to...
Oddly formal.
Yeah.
How did you describe your child's trousers? Oddly formal.
Oddly formal.
Yeah.
But they had to test me to see if I wasn't a fucking moron or something.
How'd you go?
I was okay, but I didn't understand the accent. So they'd show me like a thing.
A shape.
Like some pictures or whatever. And they'd be like, how many ducks are there? You know? I don't know what a duck is. In South Africa, a duck is like a traditional... headscarf, like an African headscarf you wrap around your head as a duck.
A duck.
Yeah. Whereas it turns out what they meant was ducks.
Ducks. Yeah. Look, I got that.
That took a long time for me to figure out as a child, but they thought I was an idiot who didn't know what a duck was. And it's like, no, 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 I know what a duck is. I don't know what the hell's coming out of your mouth.
Yeah, because I guess because you'd have like the slang and stuff as well, right? Yeah, like they'd just be kind of like this African slang.
Yeah.
I got told the best slang the other day, South African slang. It's like, have you heard this? Like calling your girlfriend the Huns?
The Huns?
The Huns. It's like, it's your wife. It's like, yeah, it's the Huns. And it's like this other thing. Yeah, is that this African comic? Lisa Gola told me this.
Yeah.
And he's like, you don't know the Huns? And I'm like, no, I don't know the fucking Huns. Like I'm aware of them in history, I guess. Yeah. Like, I don't know anything about them, but I know they were thereabouts. Sure. You know, they were part of the action. But the other thing is, like, when your girlfriend, like, when you're hanging out with her, you can say to your mate, the Huns didn't give me a visa. Which means you're hanging out with your missus. You're just like, yeah, should have let me go out. The Huns didn't give me a visa. It's like, all right, fair enough, man. I'll see you another time.
All right. Nice. Yeah,
which is like a stronger emphasis on visas than you'd find in most countries.
I think that says a lot about modern South Africans' global concerns, which is just to get visas to go somewhere else for at least a bit while shit calms down.
You get that sweet visa, man, from the Huns.
From the Huns. From a race of people in history, to be honest, not known for their paperwork and formality when it comes to borders. Very much the opposite.
I like that you can't tell me what age people in South Africa finish school, but you're like, this is a very specific joke about the Huns.
That's right. Yeah. I've got it. You want jokes about the 6th century.
This is your man.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Pierre's actually a big nerd, if you can't... I don't know, can people tell that you're a nerd because of... Like, I figured the accent would obscure it a bit, right? Because you got the South African thing, but you're also a big nerd.
Well, it used to be quite fun. I used to have a game where people would meet me, and because I'm South African originally.
And enormous. Like, you got to... I'm a big dude. Surely that's a part of it. Like, there's not many people that you, like, kind of could see wearing that, like, security guard, like, bicep thing. Like, and the weird, like, hey, like, can I talk to you about the 6th century? You'd be very thrown.
Like, just someone doing like bicep curls.
Yeah.
Just going, and then the next Reformation period innovation was, I used to meet people and I'm a big dude and they'd hear an accent and I could see them register like, oh, big guy, where are you from? South Africa. Oh, did you used to play rugby? Yeah, I used to. And immediately I could see them go, I'm going to file this guy under idiot. I'm going to file this guy under racist idiot.
Yeah.
And then it's fun to slowly reveal.
And then you're like, here's my extensive knowledge of Nordic history.
That's right.
And they're like, what do you guys like talk about that shit mid-scrum?
We do scrum lectures.
Yeah, just like everyone just gets their heads down and they're really just like, all right.
Out of breath, intense.
Asterix and Obelix are actually a poor representation of what actually went on.
Hey, Gaul is no laughing matter, everyone.
Yeah, because that would be fun though. Because like one of the things I get, like in Australia, I think most people would hear my voice and assume I'm a wanker.
Why do you have like a fancy voice for Australia?
It's not like a fancy, it's just muted. Like it's not as Aussie as other voices.
You're not there giving it full...
I'm not fucking lighting them up. Like, getting fired up, mate. Getting G'd up. Most Australian things have to do with up, because we are down. Like, we're just going fucking right
down
up.
Under, trying to get G'd up.
Yeah, we're chilled out, but we're fired up. Right. Like, actually, that's a friend of mine's show title this year.
Really? Chilled out, but fired up?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, really? Chilled out, slash fired up. Cameron James.
Feet. Open brackets, feet warm brown.
Feet warm brown.
Close brackets.
We got it. Warm brown is a one episode thing. Like, there's no way we're continuing this on.
I'm gonna try and convince as many people I know as possible that your stage name is Warm Brown.
Oh, my name is Daniel Muggleton. Like, surely that's enough.
That's a
like,
good name.
That's enough for a stage name. People assume that's a stage name.
People assume mine is a stage name.
Like, Pianavelli.
I'd pick an unspellable, ungooglable name.
Yeah, I mean, in my phone, your name is not spelled correctly. I only picked up on that.
Perry Neville.
Pezza Nobelly.
I used to have a job where I had to ring up hotels and try and convince them to buy stuff.
Why was that? Were you a pimp?
Yeah, to buy certain things. Mm. No, it's like years ago when I first moved to London. And they couldn't understand my name because they're all like, everyone who works in hotels is generally sort of Eastern European. Lots of Austrians for some reason. They seem to have a lot of hotel schools.
Really?
Yeah, it's weird. Weird pattern. Singaporeans.
Like Austrians, like just straight out of Austria. Like straight out Mozart, Austria. Yeah. Schnitzel, hotel chains.
Hotel chain, yeah. Running hotels. Yeah. Super weird.
I've never found them particularly hospitable.
No, but efficient.
I mean, one thing about Austrians, they can juggle like motherfuckers.
Fast hands.
Yeah.
But they'd mishear me and I'd say, you know, can you leave a message for the general manager or whatever? And they go, yeah.
Yeah.
Who should I say is called? I say Pianovelli. They go, piano? No.
Piano.
Not piano. Pianovelli. Piano belly. Right, piano belly. I'll say piano. I'm saying, no.
I'm actually a pretty big guy. It's piano belly. The belly's there.
The belly is there. Yeah, I was piano belly for a while.
Piano belly.
And I never got a call back.
Who would have thought? I think we should see what this piano belly is all about.
Piano belly and warm brown, the podcast.
Piano belly and warm brown seems like a trick. Like just straight up. It's just like, yeah, we're going to see a show by Piano Belly and Warm Brown.
You know, you're going to see, it's cabaret, but there's fisting. That is you're going to see an intense European show.
What is a warmer brown than an anus? Like, come on.
What, without being hot?
Yeah.
It's not uncomfortable.
It's warm.
Yeah.
I mean, I've actually never checked the temperature of a butt, I got to say.
It's got to be the same as the rest of you, right?
I recently turned 29 and zero butt temp.
Happy birthday, by the way.
Thank you.
I'm going to get you a candle for your butt that's also a thermometer. You can finally check the temperature.
What's a candle for your butt? Is that a thing?
No. Like it gets the toxins out of you by...
Yeah. Like I keep it just like, happy birthday. I'm going to blow out your butt candle.
That sounds like a really old-timey threat.
Yeah, like
I'm gonna blow out your butt candle. See, it means like knock you out, but
yeah,
the etymology of it is just weird. No one remembers where it's from.
Just like that is such a bizarre image, and I don't like you've got an old timey voice just ready to go. Like, else are you using that voice for?
Man, you name it. I'm threatening phone calls, credit card fraud.
Like in my head, you use it as the voice for your penis. Like it's the old-timey voice.
Like my penis is like a 30s detective, a prohibition era.
Yeah, it's just trying to, you know.
Yeah, see.
Put clues together.
I'm gonna see what this is all about.
She didn't ask me to wear a condom, and she's got no pubic hair. I smell a trap.
This isn't my first day, mister.
I will be wearing that condom and...
Hand me that raincoat.
Don't worry, I'll still find out where your pussy is. Like, I'll figure that shit out.
My God, a clue. Put that magnifying glass away.
I think
that's rude.
I think any penis expressing surprise is funny. Because they should really know what it's all about by the time they're fucking.
If they're surprised, something's gone wrong.
Yeah, it's just like, look, it's either a toilet, a hand, a pussy, or a butt. That's it. Four options. What else? A mouth, sorry.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Armpit?
I mean...
Foot?
No.
Is that's the niche side?
Let's not be silly.
Then they can still be surprised.
Yeah, I think if a penis is like, I think the man wouldn't be surprised. The man or the woman wouldn't be surprised by the foot, but the penis still would be.
Yeah, the penis would be like, whoa,
what are you doing?
Normally, that's what I look at all day.
Yeah. You know? I like that you're just assuming the hole is where the eye is. if you were gonna have like a penis monster, like that's where just the eye would be. Like
squinting at you.
What do you mean, like a googly pie, like googly eye on the base?
Yeah.
And the penis is a nose.
Yeah. On each ball.
Yeah. That's so no you've good. Created an upside down elephant.
Yeah.
That's wrong. I feel uncomfortable.
What are we talking about?
I mean, definitely not the cultural differences between Australia,
no,
South Africa, and England.
It was the thing of if you're a big dude or whatever. Yeah. But I think you're right in terms of if you're Australian or South African, in England, there's no touchstone for us being good at anything intellectual.
Yeah.
It's sports and violence and like manliness and hunting.
But surely we are great contributors to that stereotype. Like, it's not like Australian dudes are going around shouting out about, yeah, we're fucking clever, you dog. Nah, mate.
Just an Afrikaans guy with a big tattoo of citations across his back.
If you're looking for somebody else who's read David Foster Wallace, right here, cunt.
That's true.
Like, we keep it low.
That's true.
I don't know what South Africa is all about. Like
the standards of being a nerd in South Africa are very low.
Yeah.
In the UK, they're pretty high. You gotta work to be a nerd here.
Well, that's the same. Like in Australia, like if you use your full name, you're a nerd. Like, if you're not going by a nickname or at least a shortened version of your name,
like
you're
Warren Brown.
Warren Brown. This is not going to become a motif. I refuse. I know, like, obviously I'm not a child. I understand the worst thing you can do to avoid a nickname is say you don't like it. But I'm not going to like it. I'm not going to let it happen. I'm gonna go back, edit this thing with just bleeping Warm Brown. It's going like, what does Pierre keep calling Dan?
It's a terrible slur. Yeah.
Maybe there's something underhand to his character. He seems so genial. But
there's a real viciousness there. So are you Dan Muggleton then?
Yeah, Dan. Or Muggo.
D-Muggs.
Yeah, D-Muggs. Anything. Like anything apart from my name. Like, so if you, like, no one calls me Daniel. My parents wouldn't call me Daniel.
Okay.
Like, right. But Pierre, you can't yeah. do much with it.
Some of my friends on the Isle of Man amuse themselves by calling me Pezza.
I was actually going to say that's where I'd go with it.
Pez.
Pez. Pez is an Australian rapper. Rubbish, is obviously. It? But yeah.
Australian rapper?
Yeah, it's called Pez.
All right. Is he white?
Yeah, he's Australian.
Yeah. I was going to say, statistically, but you never know.
Problematic sentence from me there, but no, it's just like...
I mean, like, the thing that's problematic is the statistics that very much back up your...
Yeah, especially when if you're actually Australian, you are black. Like, there's no two ways about that.
Yeah.
Like, Indigenous people are Australian people.
Yeah.
I mean, we're also Australian, I guess, but, like, they're the starting point.
Yeah.
Like...
But that's it's always dangerous with that kind of stuff because, like, if you're in Europe and, like, this is something... So if you're in Australia or South Africa, it's almost quite woke or, like, on the kind of more extreme progressive side of politics to talk about, like, the native peoples, the first peoples, the original peoples.
Yeah.
Whereas if you're English and you start talking about the native people of England, you are not a left-wing gentleman.
No.
You are about to say some things about the Sikhs. And it won't be to do with their crocheting ability.
And you will assume they're Muslim.
Yes, you will.
Trump of that sentence.
That will be your whole starting point.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like a funny thing where if you go in the second you go back to Europe and you start talking about the people who were here first and the native people and stuff, you become like a crazy like car park fascist. Whereas in South Africa and Australia, it's the starting point of a lot of sort of cultural debate and.
Yeah. Well, it's me. It was quite funny. I did a gig in Edinburgh and I was on with another Australian comedian who happened to be an Indigenous comedian.
Yeah.
And the host went on after him. And was like, all right, guys, we got another Australian coming up, Daniel Muggleton. And in my head, all I was hearing was like, I'm not Australian in the same way that he is Australian. Like, I don't think that we're equivalently Australian. Like, you know, he was definitely in Australia first and on this stage first. Like, he has ownership of this. Like, not that I'm particularly awkward about that stuff. But it's just like, in that context, it's like, yeah, it's absurd to think like... Yeah, because like it's Indigenous Australians, like they were there first.
Yeah,
they know the land, like they have like an inherent connection to it.
Yeah,
we just kind of Europe'd all over it as best we could, and fucked up like a lot of the stuff. Like Australia was a very naturally kind of good, sustainable thing, and we just chuck some cattle and rabbits in.
Oh yeah, the rabbits thing.
Yeah, and just like
we've got. That's why when I was in Perth, it looked so much like Johannesburg because there's blue gum trees everywhere.
Right. They're not native.
They're native to Australia.
Yeah.
But South Africa's covered in fucking blue gums.
Oh, right. Sorry. I thought I was going to be like, aren't blue gums native Australia? Yeah.
Because they grow really quickly.
Yeah.
And they're sort of useful for wood or whatever. But they were brought over because there were so many Australian like servicemen.
Right.
That would be like the first port of call. And like quite a lot of plants in South Africa are Australian because they get brought over in like cattle feed, you know?
Yeah.
And there's like plants from Argentina because they used to bring over a lot of stuff from Argentina as well. And like seeds just get in the boat. And
yeah, of course.
So when I was in Perth to me, the terrain is very similar to Johannesburg and there's blue gums everywhere, but all the buildings look like somewhere in the Midlands in England. So it's like if someone went, hey, what if we took like Swindon and just teleported it to the Highveld in like Gauteng province.
Yeah.
And you go, now you have Perth.
Now you got Perth.
You got Perth. Sort of bushveld, kind of scrubby blue gum tree, and then a big brick roundabout.
Massive brick roundabout. Yeah.
It's red brick as well. It's like English sort of red brick, like little high street.
Yeah. Oh man. Like it's so funny how just like they really didn't give Australia any credit for being its own thing. Like yeah. one of the things I did art in high school.
Yeah.
It was probably an early indicator that my law degree wouldn't really pan out. when I was in art school, they were like talking about how when painters came to Australia, they would just mix the same colors they'd always mixed for England, like the tree green or like the grass green,
yeah.
and they'd paint it, and like everyone would look at the paintings and be like, the fuck is that?
It's kind of alien green landscape.
Why is the grass glowing next to this like weird like reddish sand?
Yeah, well, we were talking about that because my dad growing up in South Africa, one of his like great aunts or something was English, and she had a painting of the English countryside. And he just thought it was a shit painting. Because he's like, grass isn't that color.
Yeah.
So grass is kind of mostly brown.
What is this? Like some kind of impressionist thing where the impression's pretty fucking unimaginative?
Yeah. It's like, a big green lump for a hill. And then we moved here and it was like, wow, it's like vivid, like neon green grass.
Yeah. It is still confusing because it's just so green and there's like nothing. Like the one thing that's weird is there's no respect for nature here, and like it comes out of me as well, like in Australia if there's a spider I'm a bit like, what kind of spider is it? Here if there's a spider I'll just eat it, like I'm like, this spider's definitely some northern hemisphere pussy ass spider. I'll just like bite it myself, like I'm not afraid of this at all,
as long as it doesn't come out of your supermarket bananas.
Yeah, because who knows where they're from.
Yeah,
Sainsbury's, they're not going to tell you.
No.
That's
like a perennial scare story in the English press. It's like, this Birmingham housewife found this in her banana. It'll be a picture of like some dead tarantula or whatever.
It's just a picture of like an immigrant family. And everyone's like, oh my God, it's a problem.
Oh my goodness gracious.
Oh man. I find it.
The nature thing is because this is a thing that I didn't realize till my dad said it. And he's right. There's not a square foot of the UK that is wild.
Exactly.
It's the whole nation is a garden.
Yeah,
even and like I, you say this to British people, and they go, "What about the Highlands?" And you go, "The Highlands, it's a manicured shooting grouse moor for like sportsmen. Every bush is catalogued."
Yeah, well, like
it's all owned by lords and stuff. You think they don't know what's there? They planted that tree deliberately.
Exactly, because I went to like a farm out here, right? And when you hear farm in Australia, it means a farm, like not a big house surrounded by a huge garden. That's like right. it's a farm, like
that's how lush the soil is.
Yeah, but there are animals, there are snakes, there are rocks, there are thistles, there's like stuff, like filling it up, and you can't control it all.
No,
you can't control every square inch of an Australian farm unless it's a really specific.
It's an area to grow something. It's an area the size of like a county as well, because the soil's so bad.
Yeah, you spread it all out and you like get these huge tracts of land because there's nothing really going on in the middle of Australia. Yeah. Like,
it's and the fun. Grass is like sparse and crunchy and
yeah, and you've got to graze cattle across like all these huge things. And so I went to like a farm here, and I got taken to like the other farm.
Yeah,
and like. It was a farm where they go shooting as a family.
Yes.
They go shooting.
Yes.
Which is not hunting.
No.
Because hunting is hunting stuff that's already there and you kind of stalk it. Shooting is you buy birds.
Yes.
And then you raise them in trees that your great-grandparents planted 100 years ago.
Yes.
And then you hit the trees with sticks, the birds fly out, and then you shoot them with an antique shotgun.
Yes.
That's what you do.
That's mostly what it is, yeah.
Yeah, and it was just the most confusing thing in the world to me, because they were like, yeah, Dan, what we want you to do is hit the trees with this stick, just go through that like dense wood.
So you're a beta.
I was a beta, correct.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, but what about like the snakes, or like what about like the other animals that live there? And they just like gave me this look like, ah. Oh. That's adorable.
Yeah.
That you think there's something in these woods that we did not pay to be there.
Yeah, or just like fully aware that it's there. It's like a fox.
It's just weird because like, and it's funny because like English people like come out to Australia and just like wander off into the bush and they get lost.
They don't know that they can't do that.
Yeah, it's like, no, you realize like this is it's dangerous.
Well, like, there was a spate of people going to Cape Town on their honeymoon and just being like, oh, everyone warned us not to just have a visit of the slums. or at least to take like a guide with us who's, you know, generally armed or whatever if you're going on some really serious tour of, yeah, you know, Guguletu or something where all the gangs are. And they're like, but that was all just silly racist nonsense. So we just wandered in there with our big cameras around our necks. It's like, yeah, that's why one of you was shot and killed on your honeymoon. There was an American guy during the 2010 World Cup, which is in South Africa, the Football World Cup.
I remember the Vuvuzelas, the trumpets, yeah.
Oh, fucking hell, yeah. They're loud.
That was such a funny thing that everyone's like complaining about them. Hey, so I'm like,
it's like a big beehive sound.
It's like, it's fine. Just, it's noise at a sports match. Just all you want.
Yeah. It's just not hymns. Yeah. You want big hymns. this American dude is like a backpacker, booked like a B&B, like a bed and breakfast in, I think, Hillbrow, which is like the most dangerous part of Johannesburg, which is saying something, you know?
Right.
And he just booked in this B&B and he got the only train that you can get from the airport, which they only built for the World Cup. And he got off at Hillbrow and he didn't notice the fact that there's like 10 times as many security dudes on the platform. And he got his backpack on his little bag.
This American walking around being like, hey, they got open carry here as well. That's cool.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I wonder how safe the schools are. And he just got shot and killed on the way to the fucking B&B.
That quick?
Yeah, on the day. Because it's like, you had a bag of riches. You're just walking around.
Didn't they just like rob him like gentlemen?
No, that's the weird thing is that like the culture of violence is like, well, if we rob him, he might see us and...
It's just easier.
It's just easier to kill people.
Yeah, I heard that's like a thing in China as well with like hit and runs.
That's a thing. Yeah, you have to, because if you kill them, you just pay a one-off thing.
Yeah.
Whereas if you cripple them for life, you're eligible for like... all their medical care.
It's your responsibility.
Yeah, for the rest of their life.
It's like having a kid that you hate.
Yes, yeah, and who hates you.
Hates you even more.
Even more, yeah.
Like, so much. No, it's like, yeah, it's funny with that just complete lack of respect for, like, the nature. It's like they go out and just, like, swim, like, they just get hammered and, like, swim out into the ocean.
Yeah.
And, like, they don't realize there's, like, rips.
Yeah.
That'll just take you out.
And you're 3 miles out of sight of shore. You know?
Yeah, it's just it's a funny thing, I guess, because like there's just no.
It's that empire attitude, though.
Why would they?
Well, yeah. We'll find a way through the jungle. You won't. You'll die in the jungle. Like, well, we'll see about that.
I mean, when have you ever heard of one of our expeditions going wrong?
Exactly. A man getting lost in a jungle.
Remember that time?
You're talking fantasy nonsense.
Remember that time we found India again?
Double India. Maybe triple. Let's get in there.
It's just, yeah, it's like, there's like such a confidence around it. Like, yeah. they come out and it's like, we settled here. We'll be fine. We'll
figure it out.
And it's like, nah.
No. So we're from a country where the grass is so lush you can graze a whole cow on a 1 square meter of turf, basically. It could just sit and eat that for a year.
It's like a cow, one of those things that turns the car around and it just eats just eats the grass in the circle.
In a circle, and it sort of revolves around the field.
And it's just grown back by the time.
It's like a Roomba. The cow just kind of... Yeah.
That's the next innovation.
Whereas in like South Africa and Australia, it's like, well, the cow ate that patch of grass and it's a short 800-meter walk to the next patch of grass for the cow.
Yeah, it's like when people get like like working dogs out here. I'm like,
yeah,
but there's no work.
They're sheep. They're good sheep dogs.
What are they gonna round up the all you can drink brunch crew to go to the pub next?
I would love to see a sheep dog for London's street drinking culture.
Yeah,
round up all the bankers.
Yeah, it's just like, guys, it's time to switch to plastic glasses.
Oh my god, what kind of dog is that? He's a pub hound. He's a pub hound. He's a plastic glass Doberman. And they've got those big teeth. They've been bred to hold plastic glasses in their mouth.
He's like a cattle dog, you know, he's used to working with animals, but he works with bankers now, and he's dead inside. He's absolutely, there's never been a less fulfilled dog.
He calls time at the bar himself. It just, ding, he jumps up and like hangs from the bell by his teeth.
After work, he gets through like 3 ciders. Like, it's ridiculous. Just how sad this dog is.
He's a booze hound. He's a one of the breed of alcoholic dogs. He's a rare. Oh, he's an man. Afghan booze hound.
He's a German beer shepherd. That's what we got. A German beer shepherd to handle all that boozing needs.
A Brauhund.
In France, they call him something different.
That's right. They call
I'm just
him
kidding. They don't allow people to be herded in France. Everyone gets to do their own thing.
It's very individualistic.
Well, look, I don't think we're going to beat Booze Hound.
No.
I think that's the best kind of cultural difference.
Pinnacle of human.
That we can come up with today.
I think so.
In Australia, we have dogs to herd cattle. In the UK, we have dogs to make sure everyone gets to the next bar in a timely fashion.
They get the last tube.
It's like, guys, you're not gonna get the overground if you keep drinking, all right? The dog's going to get you there. Bit of 1-2 about it.
Yeah. The dogs learn to read timetables.
And they're proud of it. That's the one thing. Australian dogs are just like, no, I don't know nothing about cattle, whatever. In England, it's like, I can actually read complicated timetables and tell you where this beer has come from.
Yeah.
And even though I can only see in black and white, this is an amber ale. That's all right. Well, look, this has been episode 1 of the Union Jackoff.
That was good.
I think we learned some things. Man, so that was the episode. That was my first little chat on the Union Jackoff with Pierre Novelli, a great comedian, very funny dude, very intelligent guy. Obviously, I was a little bit wrong in the intro. He came to the UK when he was 7. I said 4 because I knew it was when he was just starting school, but there you go. In South Africa, they all start school at 7, which is something I still find weird. I got to say, I still struggle with that a little bit. But there you go. That's the first chat. Talks a little bit about how, you know, things that you wouldn't even contemplate before you come over here, like how the Isle of Man is not part of the UK. It's not part of the United Kingdom. The United Kingdom is a different thing to Britain because it's the British Isles and Britain is the whole thing. And the United Kingdom is just those 4 of England, North Ireland, Scotland and Wales. I mean, I say that like I know, but I don't, to be honest. I'm still trying to figure that out myself. But yeah, it's just nice to chat to Pierre. Like the imperial measurements, why are imperial measurements heights and dicks in the UK and other stuff in metric? I mean, I think that's why they left the EU. They just got sick of people trying to explain stuff to them in meters and kilograms. They were like, nah man, let's do something everybody knows, like stone. You can be like 13 stone and apparently it's very heavy. But to me, that means absolutely nothing. Still, to this day, just absolutely nothing. 13 stone. It sounds like a lot of stone, but it may be 20 kilos, as far as I know. Hope you guys learned something, though. That's what I hope. You know, I hope you realize that in Australia is all pretty much the same place. Like, that's the one thing. Coming from Australia to the UK, you really think that Australia is just one country. And then the UK and just England, even England itself is so many different places. There's that vibe, like, you know how Germany, like, it's not the same at all because it's only united real late on. You know, there's no beer halls in North Germany. Like, people come up. I lived in Berlin for a bit and people come up and be like, hey, Dan, where are the beer halls at? And I'm like, that would be about 400 kilometers south. They don't do beer halls up here, man. It's just a different thing. But in Australia, it's all pretty much the same. But there I was explaining that we have drinks in different sizes. You know, that's an important cultural difference. Drinks in different sizes. A pint in Adelaide is a different size to a pint in Melbourne. And Sydney doesn't even really have pints. So there you go. We've got our little differences as well. That's why you've got to see the whole of Australia. Don't just see Sydney and Melbourne. I mean, definitely don't see Adelaide, though. But don't just see Sydney and Melbourne. Maybe go to Perth. I've never been. Pierre seemed to say that Perth was like some weird English village, but in the middle of South Africa, which probably explains why so many South Africans moved across to Perth in the early 90s for no reason other than just really just wanting to experience Australian culture. I hear nothing weird was happening in South Africa during that time. Anyway, that's the first episode of the Union Jackoff. If you want to get in touch, please get at me on Twitter, at Dan Muggleton, D-A-N, and then Muggleton, Muggle like Harry Potter, then T-O-N. We've got a Facebook page, The Union Jackoff with Daniel Muggleton.
And then obviously Pierre, if you want to keep finding him out, the way that you spell Pierre is P-I-E-R-R-E and then N-O-V-E-L-L-I-E. Pierre Novelli. A name that restricted him when he was trying to sell things to hotels. But now that he's a goddamn brilliant comedian, it seems to not be holding him back at all. Pierre Novelli, check him out. He's got some shows coming up in London and around the UK, and he usually sneaks across to Australia every couple of years as well, so check that out. Anyway, guys, thanks for listening. The first episode next week. There will be more. Every Monday, we're releasing these things. We're going to learn about the UK. See you guys soon. Have a good one. Cheers.